Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Words from Psalm 47. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Oftentimes when we read through the Old Testament, we can become so fixated on the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because very often that is what appears to be the heart of that Old Testament. Those sons of promise, of the covenant that God made with Abraham. We can become so fixated on those Hebrews, or as they would be called by the time of Jesus' wanderings on this earth in his ministry, the Jews. But the fact is that this message, this Jesus, is for the Jew first, and then also for us Gentiles. We are not some sort of afterthought. Jesus loved you too. That's why he did everything. He came to save the household of Abraham and us too. When we read the Old Testament, we can see that God also loves the Gentiles, for he will occasionally bring them back into the story, into the lineage of his son. We see women like Rahab or Ruth brought in who were not Hebrew women. And then when our Lord comes, when he is born in that stable, we see once again that this message is proclaimed first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Christmas is a celebration of our Lord's birth, our Lord, just as much the Jewish Lord. He is the King over all creation. And to show that, we see Magi coming from the East, Gentile men laying down their presence before this King, King of the Jews, but King of all creation. We see that God is reigning over the heathen, the nations. God is reigning over us as well. There was a struggle over how they were to bring that message to the Gentiles. There was a struggle throughout the book of Acts on how exactly you could bring these Greek believers to faith, to follow him. And so in the book of Acts, a book that I think is too often overlooked, you see this discussion, this argument. Must these Gentile men be circumcised because that was a part of the old covenant? It is an argument. It is a discussion. And there is disagreement. There's a whole camp that believes that all of those men who convert to the faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior must submit themselves to that old covenant, to the circumcision. There is thoughts that they must submit themselves to the dietary restrictions given by the Mosaic law. Paul has other news. This is the Jesus not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile too. And then we have the miraculous vision before Peter's eyes. Peter is brought forward to minister to these Greeks who have been calling out to the true God. And then Peter sees a vision. And in his vision, he sees all sorts of animals that he has never eaten in his life. And they come before him, and the voice from heaven says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." The dietary restrictions have been fulfilled. Jesus has perfectly fulfilled all of God's law on our behalf because we cannot do it ourselves. But more importantly than now, Peter, you can eat bacon, this is telling him, Peter, this message is for everyone. Yes, to the Jew first, but now also to the Greek, to the Gentile, to the heathen nations all over. Go out, Peter, and tell all the miraculous things that Jesus has done. Let them know that God is not delayed. God has come to his people, and he calls all people. He draws all people to himself. The cross of Jesus Christ was not just for the sins of the Jews, but for the sins of the whole world. This is an important aspect, because in our gospel lesson, too often we confuse this with the feeding of the 5,000. These are two distinct miracles. Our Lord first fed the 5,000 Jews, plus women and children. And now he feeds Gentiles as well. These are two distinct miracles. Jesus will recount these stories to his disciples later. Do you not remember when we fed the 5,000 and the 4,000? Jesus has come for the Jew first and also for the Gentiles. He's come for you and for me. For 3 days, these men, women, and children are following Jesus and hearing his teaching. For 3 straight days, they are learning from him. They are hearing what he has to say. They are being converted in their hearts to believe that this is the Messiah. Oftentimes the one that they didn't even realize they needed. Jesus is the only true God. All of the pagan gods must fall down, for they are false. There is only one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus has compassion, Mark writes, on these Gentiles as well, and acknowledges that as he has spent 3 days feeding and nourishing their souls, he is now going to feed their bodies as well. And yet again, the disciples say, "We only have 7 loaves. How are we going to feed all of these people?" Jesus is a miracle worker. But more importantly than that, the miracles that he does points to his divinity, points to his coming to perfect his creation once again, to make that sin right again. Jesus is the one who takes our sins, takes our griefs, takes our sorrows, takes our hungers, our pains, all of them. He takes them upon himself, and he gives us every good thing that is necessary to support this body and life. More importantly than that, he gives us everything necessary for life eternal. Death no longer has a hold over the person who confesses that Jesus died for him. The grave no longer has dominion over because of Jesus Christ's empty grave. And now he distributes us a food far surpassing the fish and the bread. He gives us his own body and his own blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. This is a miracle. Sin entered the world by eating, and now the forgiveness of sins is given by eating once again. This is a necessary message, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, because what St. Paul writes in Romans is very true. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God that he sent Jesus as our victor. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the end of Romans chapter 6. He could leave us at this terror over our sins. The wages of sin is death. How frightening that would be to be the last thing that you heard. But he gives you the gospel. The law stings, but the gospel is sweet. The law kills, but the gospel makes alive. This is the free gift of God, not earned by any one of us. We don't deserve it. And yet he gives it to us just the same. Because when we fail him, he never fails us. When we break his laws, he finds completion in it. Your Lord loves you so completely that his son died to cover your sins. Death rages. The devil rages. Our sinful flesh and the world rage. But find the still, quiet voice of your Lord. Find his peace that surpasses all understanding. What can man do unto me? Our Lord has conquered all these things on our behalf. The church sings. Why should cross and trial grieve me? Christ is near with his cheer. Never will he leave me. Who can rob me of the heaven that God's Son for me won when his life was given? Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.